calling the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission meeting to order on Monday, July 8th at 11:46 this morning. First thing on the agenda today is, are there any changes, additions, or corrections to our, changes or additions, I should say, to our presented agenda that came up? Okay, hearing none, I'll accept the agenda as presented. And we'll go on to the consent agenda, which includes amendments from our June 24th utility meeting and then review and approved payment of our bills amounting into $5,914,784.60. And I would look for a motion to approve that resolution to accept the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
The consent agenda motion for the resolution has been made and seconded. Discussion on either of those items from anyone. Most of the bills look like pretty standard ones for the month. Nothing's real outstanding, a little bit under capital or the projects, but other than that, it's pretty standard. Huh? Commissioner,
thank you, Madam President. General Manager Heron, on page 3, debt service, I presume that's for the wind turbines? So we are free and clear on those at this point? Thank you.
Hearing or seeing any other questions on the agenda, roll call, please.
Commissioner DeBlake?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Blommer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Magoo?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Thank you, Beth. And that is covered, or carries, I should say. Next on the agenda is the approval of the Utilities Labor Committee meeting minutes, and I'll turn it over to Commissioner Weber.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Labor Committee met on Monday, July 1st at 12 p.m. Majority of our meeting, we talked about the renewable energy certificate program that's being offered by Missouri. This is a program that's starting on January 1st, 2020, coming up. We reviewed the survey results that we had out on three different areas, Facebook, the Tribune, and SurveyMonkey. We just reviewed the results, somewhat mixed. It is a program to opt in to support renewable energy through the purchase of these certificates that are offered by Missouri River. One decision or discussion point was, in an effort to lead by example, we would recommend that utilities opt in for this program ourselves to support this program. It's estimated that this would add an additional $10,000 cost to the utilities. We talked about a marketing campaign and some future marketing efforts that we can use to promote this and get our customers to opt in as well. So as I said, there was a recommendation that the utilities opt in for this coming in 2020. We moved on and talked about an article that General Manager Heron presented to us. It was about renewable energy and the costs associated with it. For reference, for the country to be 100% renewable by 2030, it would cost an additional $4.5 trillion for an average of about $35,000 per household for the country to move to 100% renewable. So that was an article we talked about with just a little information. After that, we adjourned, and I would submit two motions at this time. One would be for approval of the minutes, and one would be for the Utilities Commission to opt in to the 2020 Renewable Energy Certificate Program offered by Missouri River to lead by example.
Is there a second to that?
No, I second that.
Motion made and second. Discussion. Since we're doing both of them at one time, which I guess we can do that, no problem with that. But I would like a little discussion as far as from the commissioners, their thoughts on how we see this energy program serving or how our community would benefit, how it would be good for us. Any comments from you, Zach, maybe you want to start with?
Yeah, it's really something that that we need to encourage, although the result that we, you know, that we received as been mentioned wasn't really kind of good number. You know, the number was very low in terms of the survey that has been done. But nevertheless, it's going to be something really great, and as a utility, if we opt in ourselves, it's just that we can encourage other entities, and it will be something renewable energy, you know, encouraging for our community here to be more closer to that number.
Okay. How about you, Commissioner Manning?
Well, I guess I have a question. The $10,000 that we would be looking at doing, maybe to General Manager Heron again on this, if we allow customers to opt in, are they kind of joining us on that pool, or would they purchase above and beyond that $10,000 amount?
Thank you, Commissioner Manning. That's a good question. How will it work after today's meeting, if the commission as a whole supports the recommendation of the Labor Committee? We will start a marketing campaign to determine the level of interest in the community. So, you know, if Shelby has something in the paper here about our program and the ability to purchase renewable energy credits, we have to make a commitment by August 1st in Missouri River, then we'll put out an RFP to buy the renewable energy credits. So we will, if the commission supports the recommendation, and it's going to cost us roughly about $10,000 on our own consumption, that will equate into X number of RECs. So the feedback we get from the community will be added to the number of RECs that we are going to purchase for our own use. So I think to answer your question, the short answer is the interest level that we receive from the community will be added to the number of RECs that we purchase, not part of.
Okay. And then again, for additional clarity on this particular topic, I think it's important, again, that we understand that we're not buying renewable energy. These are just credits. That's not actual renewable energy. And I think that's important that the public understands that as well.
Correct. What RECs are, to recap on that a little bit again, as Commissioner Matter indicated, individuals, entities, companies that build renewables, they can sell the energy output, or they can offer the energy output through a marketing program that helps pay for renewable energies, because new renewable energy costs more than traditional energy. And this is a way to support that. So the RECs are coming from renewable energy. For every kilowatt that a solar panel, they'll use solar as an example, out there, those companies can register the output from those solar panels with the state, and they're called RECs. And then we can help support the build-out of renewables by purchasing the RECs.
Thank you for the clarity. You know, I guess I look at this topic, and I have somewhat mixed feelings, because it's different than investing directly in the renewables. We just want to be cautious about that. I think that our investment, I guess you could say in relation to our budget, is pretty minimal, but I want to be cautious on how far we go down this road if we're not actually buying the renewable energy itself. We're just kind of supporting these RECs. I think it's a little bit of a different game, so I just want to be cautious about that as we move forward on this. But I think at this point I can support giving it a try.
And as you say, the clarity and to understand as we go along will be important. And Commissioner McDonald, your thoughts on this, or where you were thinking on the RECs program?
Yeah. Well, is it fair to say that for every REC that you buy or that we purchase, that'll be an extra kilowatt that will be of renewable energy that will be generated somewhere in the U.S.? Is that a fair statement or not?
No, I don't think it would be quite the appropriate way to look at it, because RECs are arrived at or a ride from renewable energy that's already built. Okay, so RECs are common. Say a solar panel's built over here. And the output from the solar panel is what drives the RECs. So will the developer take the money that he receives from the RECs and build another one? I can't answer that. Possibly. Or will he take it to offset his costs of his present development?
Yeah, I will go with the recommendation of the Labor Committee. I'm sure you guys discussed it and put a lot of time and thought into it, and whatever you guys think, I'm on board with.
Okay. Commissioner DeBlake.
I'll second that, but I have one question as well. For a customer in our system, what is the advantages to buying these REC certificates?
Commissioner DeBlake, probably the advantage of buying the certificate is they're supporting, for those individuals that want to support renewable energy, that they do not have the means to, you know, to expend the dollars that it takes to buy renewable panels. They can support it without ownership or maintenance. That's the real advantage to it. Everybody, even, you know, in your packet today, or in front of you today, not in the packet, in front of you today, the committee asked that we prepare a statement of what it would cost for each one of the commissioners, just so you have an idea. So that's what's on each sheet in front of you, and your usage is classified as private. So that's why we just put it in the envelope and put it there. But for those that can only afford minimal dollar amounts, and if they want to support renewable, this is a very affordable and cost-effective way for them to do that. So.
Okay, in the way that opt-in program is set up, it's like a year at a time, and I guess we'll get into that a little bit more, but it's a year at a time, so you can say, yeah, go for this year, but you know, I don't know, I just can't afford that. I got other uses for that money for next year that you can, they can opt out. Yep. Any other comments from you, Commissioner Weber?
Again, the Labor Committee had looked at it as what General Manager Heron had said, that it's a good way for an individual to support renewable energy rather than an individual's expense, let's say, to put up solar panels on their own home, which would be spendy for an individual. Rather, they could support it this way.
Them to say that they are supporting the renewable energy. And do we know, and this is just kind of a thinking out the what if question, that these credits are coming from, like you said, the solar gardens or wind farms that are generating this electricity, what that cost, or is it controlled, is the what they can sell it for, is that going to be controlled so that they bring a lot of RECs and all of a sudden the solar farms out there decide, well, we got a good kind of a supply and demand. They demand that they need more, we'll supply more, but we're going to raise the cost on it so that our cost even go, would potentially could be, you know, even higher. We know that the renewable does tend to run higher. Do you have any thoughts on that into looking into the crystal ball there, John?
Sure. Again, it's a good question. It's one we don't have an answer to. It's supply and demand. Right now, Missouri River Board has set the cost of RECs starting January 1st not to exceed a half a cent.
Okay.
There, so they're comfortable at this point in time that there's enough RECs available at that price or less. So they're going to do an RFP and acquire the RECs based on the number of RECs that the utilities indicate that their communities want. So that's for this year. As noted, this is program runs 1 year at a time. Next year, if the demand gets tight on the RECs and the costs go up, customers might elect not to, you know, continue to participate. So it's a 12-month commitment. The price will be fixed for this year. It's not to exceed a half a cent per kilowatt or half a cent per rec.
So that would help to control that end result that happening. And it's not like a lot of the other energy contracts that you have that are 20, 30, 50 years in
advance. No, there'll be 1 year. They're registered at the state, a year at a time. And at the end of the year, based on the number of recs that we consume or utilize, pay for, whatever, Missouri River will have to record those as used and retired. So they can't resell them twice. They only can sell them once.
Any other thoughts as we discussed a little bit more on it? If not, a motion been made and second to accept the meeting minutes as well as to recommend participation in this REC program by the utilities. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. Thank you very much, Commissioners, for the discussion. I think that's important. Then next on our list, on our agenda, on our list, I'm used to do this here. On our agenda is the Energy Services Update, and I ask our Energy Services Marketing Rep, Michelle Nowotzky, to give us a report, please.
Thank you, Madam President and Commissioners. In your packet, there are the first topic, of course, is just following up on the RECs discussion we just had. And it is a flyer originally created by Missouri River based on some feedback from the Labor Committee. We have taken it and revamped it a little bit, made it a little more bullet point-ish. But we would certainly welcome any additional feedback that is out there for it. And then this, the one you have is for residential. We will also do a similar with the business side of it, and the intention for one of the promotions that we'll do for it is just a two-sided flyer as a bill insert.
Okay, so it's all in one, so the commercial customers and see.
Correct.
As well as the residential consumers see what the cost is on that. So on your side as well, then, I see. Okay.
Correct.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, I just wanted to point out the cost. When we looked up, when staff looked up here, what the average consumption consisted of for residential homes, and we talked about this at the committee level, the average consumption for homes is 700 kilowatt hours, which equates to $2.31 per month. That's the average in our community here, as noted on the flyer.
And also, as Manager Heron pointed out, for each of us commissioners looking at what our potential cost is and giving us just individually our homes in that respect. Okay.
Okay.
I have one question about the flyer here. So when I first read it, how do I purchase RECs? Visit our website to download an application? Like, I was thinking I have to go down, like, download a computer program. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. So, I mean, I don't know if that would cost some, maybe there's a different way to word it.
Yep, definitely. We can make we can come up with something else.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Commissioner McDonald. We'll make that change or try a different language there for clarity. Appreciate it.
Any other questions on that topic? Okay. The next topic that I have for you is the Labor Committee also asked us to just give some thought to ways that the Commission and other staff can promote Wilmer Municipal Utilities. And we came up with four different ways. The first, as you can see, is, of course, know our mission statement. That doesn't really mean know it word for word, but just the general idea of it, that Wilmer Municipal Utilities will provide safe, reliable, and quality utility services at competitive rates for their customers. Something important for people to know that, A, we have a mission statement, and B, it is very customer-focused. Second is participating in events related to the utility industry, whether that means coming to our open house, as many of you have done in the past, and talking with customers, or taking advantage of some of the APPA education, or participating in city council updates. Just a few ways that staff and the commission can participate in these events. Another one is for promoting on social media. That one gets a little tricky. Not everyone's on social media. We also want to be careful, you know, liking, sharing, appropriately commenting on posts that we have. We are on Facebook and Instagram, so watching those, if you see them, you know, a like or a share or an encouraging word or something of that nature is always appreciated. We do have, on this Wednesday, I have a post scheduled that I want to mention, because it will say, I can tell you the actual post is, the WMU Commission is made up of your friends and neighbors who assure that the needs of your community are top priority. That has hashtag community priority. So one of those ways that we can, you know, remind people that our commissioners are the neighbors and friends that we have here, and you're the people that they'll see on the streets. And the last thing we have is just being positive when talking with members of the community and the customers. We do a lot of really good things here. We don't just keep the lights on or just keep the water running, although those are definitely very important things. Our financial and in-kind support to the city of Wilmer in the way of street lighting is extremely important. And we also provide incentives or rebates for our customers, whether it is business or residential. We have different rebates for them for their HVAC systems, their lighting projects, things like that. So if people are asking about them, just even a basic knowledge, or, you know, give General Manager Heron or our Director of Finance a call, or give Michelle a call, you know, whatever that appropriate communication may be. Any questions on that section?
Just knowing, I think that those rebates are out there could almost be another point on the list.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's almost a separate line item.
There are some utilities that aren't doing that any longer.
Right.
I can't remember.
And going with Missouri River has given us that opportunity to streamline those rebates. So we work directly with their program, and they also have some custom programs that I've talked to, you know, various people about, and working through those with them.
And at this point, you do something in the schools too, don't you?
Yes, we also have, we participate in the fifth grade energy program. So this last year, I worked with each of the elementary schools and their fifth grade, I believe it's their STEM teachers, and they have, it's a prepackaged box with all of the lessons and everything in it that they need, and then I visited each of the classrooms that participated in it, and the kids loved it. They really enjoyed the time they spent learning about electricity and different things. So good public relations piece,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and providing that education.
We had a lot of great conversations about coal.
Okay. Any other comments on this one? Otherwise, we'll let Michelle continue.
Okay. I will go to the final piece. And that final piece just, again, piggybacks off of the ways to promote WMU. And one of those ways is using news releases. Missouri River is great about helping us with they put those things out there. So the press release you have in your packet is actually something that they've created, and we share that with our newspaper or media outlets. And it goes back to, if you remember the video we had a while back about being community-owned, locally governed, we're not for profit, and our reliability and affordability.
Yeah, that we truly are responsible to look to the citizens of Wilmer and not to specific shareholders. But we won't put that in there, just that they can hopefully understand that part as they see this and understand it. And again, this kind of ties in, I think, even to your previous one of ways to promote the utilities between the two of them.
Being community owners, even in a community as large as Wilmer, it still means a lot to our citizens.
Yeah, as time goes on here. Anything that jumps out at anyone specifically along those two, or any of these three?
I was going to suggest, I mean, something like this, it would be really great to have, like, what has been happening in downtown Wilmer, you know, recently. I think, remember when you've been in the main street downtown, that the safety and the lighting, you know, this is something good to highlight, because a lot of people don't know that, you know, in terms of, you know, how the utility participates in those type of, you know, how to make, you know, businesses more lighting, more safe, you know, and designing those, you know, street lines, especially for the businesses.
You're absolutely right, Commissioner Mabul. I think, you know, the lights are just there. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for our customers to know that we have a hand in helping that.
Commissioner Mabul, I'll expand on that a little bit. I don't know if the commission as a whole is aware of what's going on with downtown street lighting. But being able to bring it up, it's a good point, because we are involved there.
Yeah.
The city is looking at replacing the street lighting downtown. It's our responsibility to maintain the street lighting. We have an agreement with the city. Kevin and Todd, they've been working very closely. They've been to 3 meetings already with the city, Kevin. 3 meetings to take part between the city and the downtown business group, and the project is moving forward, and based on the agreement that we have, depending on what light fixture they go with, we're responsible for a standard light fixture, so we'll be responsible for a large chunk of the project, but the fixture where they're leaning towards is probably going to exceed it by a couple $100,000. That's safe to say, Kevin, in broad terms. Mm-hmm. A couple $100,000. So the city is working through that part of the project, as well as the type of light fixture that the businesses as well as the city want to support downtown. So that project's moving forward. We're taking the approach that we will start with the downtown street lighting, probably not next summer, but the summer of 2021, I believe, we're on schedule for. So, and that has to do with our replacement, with our staff's time availability, because we're working on our underground replacement of our aging cable where we have a lot of faults. So once we're done with that, we're going to be rolling into downtown and changing out the street lights downtown. And or if somebody drives them on or over sooner than that, you'll probably start seeing the new street lights pop up downtown at that point in time, once a decision is made what they want to go with. So that pretty much captured, Kevin, where you're at with the city. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other comments on those marketing PR pieces to add to it? Well, thank you very much for your presentation, and keep up the good work there in getting us out, folks. And then the next in your packets was the update to the city council meetings. You know, we started that last year, and I kind of pushed for that we start that. You know, we spend money to go out onto the national level and then the state level, and then what are we doing for the local level? And so we started out with having meetings with city council members pretty much on an individual basis, keeping in mind that the meeting laws and stuff that are out there, but informing them, you know, kind of specific in a little smaller group where they can ask questions and that type of thing of what's going on, where they see it, and et cetera. And so we start out with first the local activities, and then go to the state and to the national. And so I would ask commissioners, as you see these activities today, the Priam substation, the power plant, the future of that, the water treatment plant, Missouri River Energy Services, a new building, districting, our load share program, and the rate study that's coming up on it, and then of course our city charter comment there. Of those, do they all seem to meet, as you see, activities that we've been informed on, any additions or corrections, anything that you want more said or less said on just on those for right now?
Madam Chair, I have one addition for the commission to consider here. An oversight on our part or my part, I guess I'll claim ownership to that, but we probably should list the city downtown street lighting on here as well when we're talking with the council.
Okay, that would probably be good to add to it. Okay. And now, of course, then we've gone on, as you can see, we have from the state our Minnesota association and on the national level and support there. And as we do this, we try to set up the time that we would have, you know, like three council people there, and myself and John. And then I put that invite out and encourage anyone that it will be able to sit in with it. Again, bearing in mind, one more person is always good from the commission to sit in on this. Beth will be working on getting schedules put out and that kind of thing, and she will forward on times that so that if any of you can attend it. Looking at morning or noon meetings to meet with the council is what we're going to go with on this update to our city council. So that's, if that's, if there's no further comments on that, and again, you can let Michelle know, or myself, or John know, if there's anything else that you think of along the way here that we should bring up. We like to try to keep it to an hour. It depends upon how many questions come up and as you go along with it. But again, that's kind of their time to, you know, for us to inform them and for them to ask probably questions that would not be asked otherwise, you know, at a formal meeting. Again, that's for your information. Bear that in mind when that comes out, to let Beth know if you're able to sit in on any of those meetings. And then we'll go on to our budget schedule, and there our Director of Finance, Ms. Runge, will update us on that.
Thank you. You'll see attached to your agenda the schedule for the 2020 budgeting. As you'll notice, typically the last few years with the attachment, we've had it done about the middle to beginning of September. This year it's gotten bumped up a couple weeks sooner. That's being driven by the city. They have asked us to have a completed budget to them by August 14th. So you'll see that we have it on the agenda for final approval for August 12th meeting. We've got the worksheets completed. They've already been sent out to staff. Staff is working on them. We'll be meeting with them next week and going over their numbers. I will then beginning the process of compiling the budget. And in the middle of there, we are also supposed to have our rate study back from Dave Berg August 1st. So then those numbers as well will be incorporated into that final budget. We do have the planning committee review of the budget set up for August 7th. And from there, if all is approved, we'll start the finalization process and have them on the meeting agenda for August 12th. Are there any questions on the budget schedule?
Well, if those numbers are in, so they're good ones, okay. Thank you very much, Denise, for that report. Then we'll go to the power cost summary for me and Director of Finance there again, Ms. Runge, will address that.
Yeah. Again, included in your agenda is the cost of power for the month of May. You'll see the average cost of power for May looks a little low. That is due to the fact that at the time financials were completed for the month, we did not have our GRE bill yet from them. It was a few days late receiving that this month, and so it's not included in there. But overall, the red line, the average cost of power, we're staying on track. We're about 6.5 cents, so up slightly from the 6.4, but that is also common in the summer months with our summer rates.
Okay, questions there? Okay, thank you very much for those reports. And then we're going to our workman turbine report from our facility maintenance supervisor, Mr. Manny, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you see in the wind turbine report from June, we have oil turbines, approximately 97.5% availability for turbine 3, 96.3% for turbine 4. Our total kilowatt hours is down a little bit, a total of 400,456. And we had turbines ready, just didn't have the wind that we were hoping for. So we're hoping that picks up here in July. Year-to-date, we are 3.5 million approximately kilowatt-hours total, on pace to end up somewhere in between 2017 and 2016 totals, right around that 7, hopefully a little bit higher for end-of-year productions.
Okay, any questions for Kevin? Okay, and again, I saw last meeting, I saw that they were getting, your staff was getting some training regarding the wind turbines.
They did, actually. We did. It was on the invoicing in today's bill payments. We're able to locate one of the former DeWind engineers. He's actually German. It was quite interesting training. Came up for a week and trained three of our staff and two from the Wind Energy Institute in Canada. Came down and joined us, and they really focused on the electronic side of the turbines, the computerization of them, really got in deep into the weeds and in laptops and how to program items and those sorts of things that we've had issues with in the past. We're confident that our staff was probably one of the, if not the highest trained folks in the United States outside of these former DeWind people. So the guys were really excited about it moving forward. If we have electronic components and modules and things like that that need programming, we're able to now do some of those things. And also just the general, you know, being able to diagnose the troubles and faults and things like that that come up moving forward. So it was real good training, I felt. The guys were happy to take it and came out with heads full of knowledge, so we hope to put it to use someday.
And it shows a different hearing reports on this in comparison kind of some in the past when we didn't have that good a backup from DeWind, and that, so the staff is to be commended on, you know, taking that initiative, doing it, and getting it done, and continuing to stay educated and even do more with it.
Absolutely. We're fortunate that the former DeWind employee was able to come up and do this for us, and he's been a great asset as well as Olympia Renewables in Oklahoma. Continue to be a good asset for us.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Kevin, did that engineer have any thoughts on if that negative temperature shutoff was adjustable or absolutely necessary?
I don't know that they asked him that specifically this time around. We have had conversations with him about that because the guys from Canada had talked about that as well. They run into that being a little further north, but there isn't much adjustability that they want to do with it just for safety of the components. Okay. So it gets down to that temp, and that's where they kind of, that's like a earth-wide thing. So
okay, thanks.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Thank you, Kevin. And we'll go on to our general manager's report today, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to point out two committee meetings coming up Thursday, August 1st. The committee, as Denise indicated too, with our budget schedule, Labor Committee will be meeting to review our electric and rate study, which will be brought to the commission after that. And then on August 7th, will be our budget committee hearing, so go through our budget so that they're ready to be presented to the commission for approval as well. Down on our future meetings, we have our annual open house. I know an email was pushed out to the commissioners, so please keep it on your calendar. It's for August 15th, and we expect a good turnout, or a normal turnout there for it. So we look forward to having the commissioners there helping out, answering questions. I believe Michelle has the commissioner booth set up again. So I would conclude my report, unless there are additional questions.
Any other, so quiet, obviously we're studying in this. So can you say any other comments or questions from any of the commissioners today? And I'll plant the seed, and we'll start the talk of who will be staying on the commission, or will be up later on, but didn't put it on the agenda today, so just putting it out there to think about as we start the budget. We start the budget for the finances. We also start the time for who's going to stay on the commission, or folks to come on. Here hearing anything, hearing nothing else from any of the commissioners, staff, this meeting is adjourned.